Right. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the first day. And God said, "Let there be expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruits with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
Simple and straightforward, but up to the point. That's the account of creation. We haven't finished yet. We will continue with it even next week. But today, so far, so good. So far, so good. In this first chapter of the Bible, which forms part of the Pentateuch, if I got it right, Pentateuch, the five books that Moses wrote, this Pentateuch. Isn't that great? I always find it difficult to pronounce some of these words, but never mind. Moses wrote these books not through the joy of wanting to write, but it was God's command. This was God's word that he was writing. According to this account, we witness that God doesn't love chaos. He doesn't like chaotic situations. He is an orderly God. So, because my God is an organized God, this morning I thought my theme is going to be "Organize Your Life." If you look at those bicycles, you can see there's a lot of chaos on there. But also, besides that, there's something that I want to bring to your attention this morning. I've heard some people saying, there are some who believe in the Big Bang. There are some who believe in evolution. There are some who believe in just creation of God. My brothers and sisters, everything was created by God, who loves order. God is not a chaotic God. Some might say, those days that are mentioned in the Bible are not similar to the days that we live in today. Fair and fine. But listen to what Peter writes. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. It says, in God's eyes, a day can be like 1,000 years. 1,000 years can be like a day. So it's irrelevant whether God did it in a second or in a minute. I want you to get rid of the idea of a Big Bang in your mind. I want you to get rid of the idea of evolution in your mind. Moses has written it, and he has mentioned categorically how each and everything came into being. as we will continue with the account of creation, you will hear more about what happened. And this God, imagine, in verse 3, he starts with light. Someone might have thought, oh, light? Light is life. But we are concerned about today. We want to concentrate on what happened on the third day. Please forgive me if I've skipped the other first few verses up to where we are now, the only account of creation. But the bonus is that we've already read about it, you've heard it, and when you go home, don't shelve your Bible, pick it up, and research also on this creation. But today, I'm going to concentrate from verse 9 on the third day. Wow! My first important assignment is to show you that God is a structured God. I want to be structured like Him because I made Him in His own image. After the sky was set above the water, an instruction was given to the water to gather in one place. Did you hear that? There was an instruction given. There was no chaotic situation there. The instruction was for the water to gather in one place. If you are sitting right at the back, you can view what's behind you. Sorry, my dear wife, maybe you're looking for your kettle and it disappeared from your kitchen. I took it and put it in the boot of the car because I wanted to use it here this morning. So here we go. Hopefully, it's going to work. If it doesn't, never mind. I will still point out the point that I want to make. God, being a God of order, in His creation, He commanded water to go in one place, whether it's a sea, a river, a pond, or whatever it is. God is commanding. Water doesn't have brain, it doesn't have ears, it doesn't have a head, but it listens to God. Isn't that orderly? So what about you, who is made in the image of God? When God speaks, you're not listening. You are still disorganized like that pile of bicycles. God called the dry land, land, because the water has been removed. It is now in one place, and the vast that remained was called land. Wow. Is above us. Water has been commanded to go in one place. Land is dry land. As we continue, we hear God also gave instruction to the land to produce fruits, seeds of many kind. If you notice, see how God is putting His things in order. There was heaven, home. There is earth where you and me belong and live for the time being. There will come a time when we will join Him in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole point now, what we are heading to. Because this world is not our home. Jim Reeves once sang his song, "This world is not my home. My home is somewhere. I will be with the Lord some other time." Now, the law of philosophy is taking place. Everything is now being ordered to take its place. In verse 11, the land is given orders to produce plants with seeds bearing. As we shall see in other verses, life on earth will depend on things already commanded, showing the God of order why other things come first before others. Going back to the command of the water to go in the river or in the oceans, can you see what's happened on the kettle now? Do you see what's happened with the water? You cannot say that's an orderly situation. I've commanded that water to boil, but look what's happening in there. There are bubbles and the water is like a tsunami. But when God ordered the water to go in its rightful place, there was no such thing like this. It was an orderly account. The water just obeyed. Even at home right now, pour down some water even on your floor. It won't remain there. What does it do? It knows where God has commanded it to go. What about you then? Don't you listen to what God is saying to you? Don't don't you listen to what God is saying to you? The third day, the Big Bang theology has been ruled out. The evolution idea has been ruled out. What is it? God's creation, as Moses wrote about it. What I've just said also, the writer of Psalm 18 verse 15 says this, that at your command, O Lord, at the blast of your breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the foundation of the earth were laid bare. Who of you here breathes with such noise that the person in front here can hear the one who is breathing at the back? No. We don't even know that you are breathing, but you are. The moment you stop breathing, you die. This is exactly how God commanded the water to go in where it belongs. The God of order. He was breathing, and the water obeyed. The water obeyed. The water obeyed. Another verse also from the New Living Translation has it this way. The earth was clothed with floods of water. You spoke, and the water collected into vast oceans and ocean beds. Psalm 104, verse 5 to 8. According to the writer of Proverbs also, 8:29, again the water is assigned to the sea with its limits, so that the water couldn't overstep his command. Again, who of you has been to the sea, sitting by the beach there? The waves are coming. The waves won't even go over where you are standing if you are standing by the sand. If it happens, we give it a different name. Exactly. But beside the floods, the water knows where it's supposed to end. It comes to where you are standing. And it hears God's command. It goes back. It obeys God's command. It has been given its limits. Where to stop and where to go. What about you? Why are you not listening to the words of God? God has been speaking to you. Several preachers have preached to you. But still up today, you are that violent water which forgets its borders and is moving over, disturbing people who are enjoying at the beach, when you are bringing all those waves and the crumb from the day, the sea. Aha! This water I've been talking about. Yesterday I heard this preacher saying, Jesus is the living water. Is he? Is he? Oh, I love it. I love it. This living water, I opened in the book of John, chapter 4, and I found there was this woman at the well. And she was even puzzled, which water is the best water to drink? Jesus said to the woman, if you drink this water, you will not be thirsty again. I love it. Don't you want to drink that water with me? So if you want to drink that water with me, look at this. Let's look at this together. Facts to note, John 7 verse 37 to 39, Jesus Christ is the living water. With him in you, you will never be thirsty again. Living water is not gathered in the church, pub, lake, sea, but in you. Through his Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to live in you. The living water springs up and gives you everlasting life. God was creating life on earth, and we are not going to remain here forever. We will be the Lord in glory, in everlasting life. So if you've got living water in you, who is Jesus? You won't die. You will even surprise the undertakers. They've said they've done your funeral, but on that day you'll say, Undertaker, I'm here. You buried me, so it was finished, but I'm here. Some here this morning might think, okay, someone has lost it. I haven't. If you think I've lost it, listen to what Revelation 22 verse 17b says. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of water of life. Don't you want a free gift this morning? Take Jesus as your savior. As we go back to the account of creation in verse 11, we read also about the land being commanded to produce vegetation. Plants of all kinds are camouflaging the land even today. Every morning when I walk to church, I pass through another house there near the road. They've got their bit of the front garden prepared. There's this material you put to discourage the weeds from growing. Yeah? You buy it from B&Q. So when you lay it on the ground, weeds won't grow. But you know what? Surprisingly, when every morning when I'm passing through that yard, I look at that material on there, God's plans are protruding from the other edges. Because they are listening to the command that they were given by the Lord. Whatever you might do on the ground, because it's obeying to the instruction that God has already put in place, the plants will disobey you because you're not their creator. Even if you try your piece of land to have no plants, they will still come out. Because they are listening to that one who created them. What about you? God is commanding you to the extent of sending his only son. We spoke earlier on that because of his love, he sent his son to come in this world. What for? To prepare our journey home. Because this journey without Jesus, you cannot journey on it. You need Jesus in you. You need the living water. You need the bread of life in your life. So that we can go ahead. In verse 3, light has been created well ahead of other things. Who's light? Jesus Christ is light. When Jesus Christ appears, darkness runs away. So this is what we need. We need light. We need living water in us so that we can be prepared for the life ahead. 1 John verse 4. John 1 verse 4. In him was life, and life was the light of men, according to the King James Version. Here are some other facts also that we should look at together. The creation account has shown us that God is orderly. He has plans for each one of us here. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not here by mistake. God has already planned your life. He has got something for you. Someone might say, well, I'm always suffering, I'm always in this limbo. Yes, I mentioned earlier on that you are not alone. Jesus is with you. God is our provider. Creation obeys him. Water, plants, and land, they do what they've been commanded by the Lord. We are his creation. We should obey him too. What are you waiting for? We can have different preachers in this church or wherever. We can even go on YouTube. We can even or go on television. But if you are not listening to what your Lord is saying to you, we are wasting our time. Church might as well close because people are not listening. I said the other day, I'll keep on preaching about forgiveness until I've seen people forgiving each other. If they don't, why should I preach another sermon when they are not even listening to the one that I'm preaching? So this morning, the account of creation is there to get rid of the Big Bang idea, the evolution idea. This was God's creation because it pleased him. Amen. We read in there, after creation, first day God said, this is good. If you carry on with the account of creation, you find this is good, is mentioned several times. When it gets somewhere, it changes now. We'll get there, not today. Don't jump the gun yet. But for the moment, God said, it is good. When he gets to you, he will change his statement. Watch this verse. But for today, I want us to take this on board. The account of creation has been created so that we know where God is coming from and where he's going. Another thing to know that God is an orderly God. He is a structured God. So why are you not structured as well as your father? Be structured right now. Put your life in order. I put that theme on there. Organize your life. Is your life organized? If Jesus turns up today, are you ready to join him where he calls you to go? If you're not ready, organize your life today. This might be your moment. This might be your last chance. You never know what will happen today at 5 p.m. But for now, organize your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to bless you and give you honor and praise. Father, thank you for giving us several opportunities. Some of them we've missed them. But today, Father, let this be the opportunity to be counted. The preacher who preached yesterday, he reminded me of something very important. He said, take this to be a car and you are the driver. Where is Jesus in your car? Father, help me to let Jesus be the driver of my car. Let me be the passenger. Father, sometimes it's difficult. The evil one is also distracting us. We pray for the power to overcome the evil one. In the name of Jesus, we want to defeat the evil one so that we can hear your command. We can hear your word. If plants, water, and land can obey to your command, what about us human beings? Father, help us. On our own, we struggle. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.